You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So much humanity gets lost inside of those helmets. And then masculinity and football huddle to protect the violent business and keep so much of the pain concealed. But every once in a while, the dirtiest compromises in America's most popular sport spill into our living rooms as reminders of what we're watching, as uncomfortable and unpleasant as blood surprise splattering upon our faces. The fun and games pause for a moment then, and the broadcaster's tone shifts to somber, and we're left with incongruous scenes that don't ever look right on something called a field of play. Scared gladiators kneeling in a prayer circle, an ambulance on the 40-yard line, or a head immobilized ever so carefully onto a stretcher. This has always been the risk baked into this barbaric game America loves more than any other. We all know it, accept it, then ignore it. Until that nausea in our stomach reminds us of all the devils disguised in this deal. When it happened to Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, we were suddenly left horrified and helpless enough to join the angry mob in search of the soothing that can come with blame. How could this be allowed to happen? Why? It was as if all our brains had been scrambled by that hit, that video, that reminder of the labyrinth of lies we must tell ourselves about football to avoid seeing even the most obvious of inconvenient truths so that we may all keep cheering. A week ago, Tagovailoa got up from a hit looking so cobwebbed in the head that if this had been a boxing match, the referee would have waved off the fight in protection of the fighter's brain. And that's a sport where the primary goal is to do that to someone's head. The union that protects football players demanded an investigation into why Tagovailoa was allowed to keep playing after wobbling like that. A few days later, on too little rest because greedy football has to own Thursday nights on television too, he was ragdolled to the Cincinnati turf on a hit that didn't look that terrible by the standards of the sport. And we all got a visual that many of us had never seen before in football from a quarterback. His fingers on both hands splayed and frozen in front of his face mask in directions they are not supposed to go. Athleticism short-circuited, all of us getting to see for ourselves without needing any concussion protocol or medical degree that there had been a scrambling of the brain's wiring into something that looked very much like a seizure symptom. It wasn't just the union demanding an investigation after that. The feeling of being horrified doesn't patiently wait for the results of MRIs or investigations or explanations. Social media outrage, as you know, might be the only sport in America bigger than the one that produced this particular indignant. This visual doesn't happen very often to anybody in football. That was part of the shock. We aren't used to seeing a professional football player look like a shaken baby. But it certainly doesn't happen ever at the quarterback position. The rules are different for them. They changed when Tom Brady got hurt once. So quarterbacks are playing literally a different game than anyone else on the field, safer by rule, to protect the guys who star in the commercials and sell the game and move product. There are only a dozen of them, maybe fewer. Just about everyone else in this sport is a literal number, face masked. But even with all the rule changes, it isn't quite safe back there either, is it? Football had just happened to one of the rare guys on the field who isn't quite as disposable as the rest, and an adorable one at that. One we feel like we've known since college, one surrounded by hope on a then undefeated team that hasn't won a playoff game in a generation. A sweet young man, a baby face. The humanity was no longer lost inside the helmet. and masculinity in football could no longer huddle usefully to protect the violent business. There was a human being we cared about under those splayed, frozen fingers, or at least one we feel like we know, and he has never looked that fragile, that vulnerable, that unsafe. The horror of that made us all wonder with discomfort, not why we were watching any of this, mind you, but why the doctors and dolphins had allowed this unpleasant reminder into our lives before bed. It was like hearing a gunshot at what had been a great party. But instead of turning and running away, we all went hunting not merely for the shooter, but for the manufacturers of all the individual gun parts. We blame the dolphins and doctors and coaches and the league and the protocols. And some of us even concocted a labyrinth of conspiracy and lies with our distrust of American institutions in 2022. But you know what we didn't do very much? Blame football. Maybe because that's the only one of the blames that would require us all to grab a mirror. People don't realize how big and sturdy even Brady and Peyton Manning actually are, or how much protection they provide themselves by getting rid of the ball so quickly and without scrambling around. They'd tower over most of the people you've met in your life, and you'd be surprised by how large they are if you stood next to them, because our perception of their size is distorted by the giants who surround them. Tagovailoa is slight by comparison, listed at what appears to be a generous 216 pounds. In search of flexibility and mobility, as the sack savages get faster and more menacing, the quarterbacks are getting smaller in this league as the players chasing them get bigger. The man who ragdolled Tagovailoa, Josh Tupoua, weighs 345 pounds. It's rare to see a quarterback launched anymore. Hell, we've gotten so used to quarterbacks being protected by rule that we expect to see flags whenever that position or our position are jostled by the violence. Unnecessary roughness is the call, as if the entire sport isn't that. Tupoua has been throwing around 216 pounds in the weight room since he was a teenager, trying to get to the top of bigger, stronger, faster in an arena that is survival of the fittest. He looks like he has 216 pounds of protein with his breakfast. From a different perspective, the 130-pound weight difference between Tupoua and Tua is the weight difference between a teenager and a toddler, a father and a fourth grader. There's a reason we usually have weight classes in all our other violent sports. A boxer died in the hospital last week, 5 days after being knocked out in the ring. He was a junior welterweight named Luis Quinones, and he was 25. We did not know him the way we think we know Tagovailoa, and we did not have to watch it happen in the ring. But only because we were spared. We all know the risk in that sport, accept it, then ignore it until the disgust of nausea in our stomach reminds us of all the devils disguised in this deal. It is an oxymoronic ideal trying to make violent things safe. We can only strive to make them safer. The concussion protocols are inexact, especially when players are incentivized to lie in order to stay in the game. Fewer than 10 years ago, before there was a protocol, before football denied its concussion problem and then tried to make it go away with a nearly billion-dollar settlement, a quarterback would have wobbled like Tagovailoa did, and we would have called him tough while very much expecting him to stay in the game. And here's another thing. The protocols can identify concussions, but not prevent them. They provide merely the illusion of safety, making us feel better about things. Football, by its very existence, is an exercise in brain damage. There's CTE happening on every field every Sunday, and Monday, and Thursday. Every once in a while, though, we all have to deal with that ugly truth together with an ugly visual, as opposed to pushing it 10 years down the road where it can exist more quietly and alone as the ringing inside of a former player's head. But it is an exercise in gymnastics to get your morality and humanity and decency all aligned whenever something you love regularly produces something you hate. It shows you the myopia at the center of the spectacle that Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel, who really does seem like a kind and thoughtful man, actually said that he would never knowingly put a player in harm's way. Think about that one for a second. Think about what he does for a living. Think about how numb to carnage you have to be to not understand that as a football coach, All you ever do by letting anyone take the field is knowingly put them in harm's way. Once upon a time, in the Colosseum, the only people participating as gladiators in fights to the death were inmates and slaves, prisoners. But the glory and applause eventually became enough to lure volunteers. Every Sunday, on a day for rest and religion, cities gather around their stadiums to cheer numbers and colors and regional identity, and this habit is handed down by generation. The disposable employees volunteer for the money inside the maw of the machine, a machine that keeps growing, at least in part because it is violent. Those people out there are braver than most of us, or less afraid of consequences, or they feel so bulletproof with youth and confidence that they assume it'll happen to someone other than them. It is not in the nature of the people who do this for a living to listen to danger instead of trying to overcome it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing this for a living. It was Upton Sinclair who said, "It is difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends upon his not understanding it." You heard Chris Nowinski on with us last week. He was dismissed as a raving lunatic, especially by Dolphin fans, when he saw what happened to Tagovailoa, and he said all the coaches and medical staff should be fired and that Tagovailoa should not play again this season or for the Dolphins ever again. He was emotional and angry, and he also happens to have more expertise here than most. He's been a prisoner inside his own skull since he had to retire from wrestling at 24, Tagovailoa's age. He lives alone with the sleep disorder, the nausea, the headaches. He serves on the NFL Players Association Mackey White Health and Safety Committee. He's a neuroscientist. And he said 6 hours before Thursday's game that there wasn't any circumstance under which Tagovailoa should be allowed to take the field. And he said that the decision makers should be charged with murder if Tagovailoa died. The language he used was more extreme than any you've ever heard from someone with his expertise, at least in part because he hasn't felt heard despite his expertise. It is not hard to understand his frustration. Imagine if you had more information than most about approaching doom, but nobody seemed to be listening. Imagine if you were scared and screaming, but didn't feel like you could be heard above all the cheering.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
We like to call this one a chorus of Owen Wilson. Yeah, yeah. Ready?
Stugatz.
Wow.
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 This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Represented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Stugatz greeted me after the weekend. This was his hello. Was the phrase that doctor you put on last week? And then Billy chimes in from the corner of the room.
Yeah.
If to a lie to the doctors, should he be charged with murder?
It's a good question. I mean,
I thought the Tua stuff and the QAnon stuff was weird, and has been weird for a long time, unlike almost anything I've ever seen in this market, because of the combination of 2 decades without a playoff appearance, and he represents hope and maybe, and that position, if he's good, they'll be good for a while. And QAnon gets very mad, but I did not think they would get so mad that they would say that we should not have platformed Chris Nowinski, that we should not have allowed him to say what he said because, as Greg Cody wrote in his Homerific column,
yeah,
he is not a medical doctor.
Oh, we platformed Aaron Rodgers and he said some stuff about medicine that maybe we shouldn't have put on air either.
Why would you censor these people? Like, why would you not allow... Why would you not allow them platforms, especially this person with this expertise? Like, I don't even know. This person knows more about this than anyone criticizing him.
People don't like hearing the truth, Dan. They don't want to hear the truth about what it is they're watching. It makes them uncomfortable. I would guess that's one of the reasons. Plus, they feel like he's a bit of a quack. I mean, they do. A lot of people were saying that on social media. So,
well, he's not a medical doctor.
Yeah, he also didn't really say anything that I think people would disagree with.
Like, No. It's the murder charges. It's the extreme language of fire everybody and Tua should never play for them again and should never trust them again. Like, it's the extreme language. You can't say that he wasn't saying anything that was objectionable. No, we've never heard somebody talk like that about what should happen to the doctors that surround football.
The murder charge thing, gave me shades of Adam Schefter with the whole assault tweet, but I don't understand, like, the argument that he's not a medical doctor. If he has expertise in concussions and concussion research, then I think it's someone that's worth listening to. I don't know. I don't know his credentials, though.
But do you lose an audience when you start talking about murder?
I know his credentials are that he's, like, the guy associated with that. He has been an activist for quite some time. It started when he was a WWE wrestler, and then he suffered back-to-back concussions, and then all of a sudden became like the singular voice that is associated with this. So the quack allegations are funny to me that people just, I don't know how by now people aren't yet familiar with Chris Nowinski, because he's known for this.
Forgive me. I did not know that you could be a quack unless you were a medical doctor. I didn't know. It's a
what about Tom Brady's doctor?
There are all kinds of
quacks. There's all kinds of quacks.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a doctor to be a quack.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the quack was the exclusive domain of the doctor.
No.
I thought
that I always associate. If you tell me who's a quack, I said, what's the profession associated with quack? It's doctor and only doctor.
Are you familiar with, like, the wellness space at all, Dan?
Yes.
There's a lot of quacks in that territory.
Okay. I would actually say the journalism space has a fair few quacks.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We're talking about the difference between medical doctor. I had only made it medical doctor was the only one that could be a quack. Everyone else can be frauds. That quack is something that I only associate with medicine.
I thought I only really heard it with medicine, right?
Right. Well, I mean, are you
thinking
Billy
of a hack, maybe, Witty?
Yeah, I've heard hack journalists.
Billy Corbin's a quack. I mean,
that is not.
I don't think that.
That's no. Not,
is that's, he a doctor?
That's not the way that we. What do you think Billy Corbin is? Have you heard one of those? Like one
syllable. One of what?
Have you heard one syllable of one of those?
Ducks quack?
Let's talk about football that wasn't.
Are you confused about whether or not ducks quack with the way you said that?
Let's move on to other football-related things from yesterday. How does it work when Stugatz's Jets are going up against Jessica's Steelers?
I mean, I don't care who I'm going against. I felt really good because I had Joe Flacco for a couple of weeks, and he kept us above water. And by above water, I mean 1-2. And that was enough.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is 1-2 above water or is it below water?
For the Jets, it's above water.
I think that's just treading.
Treading, above water, whatever you want to call it. But I was excited to see. I was excited to watch the game yesterday because I'm still trying to figure out if I have a quarterback.
Looked like it on the last drive. That had to feel good for you.
It looked like it on the last drive, Dan, but there were several cases in which it did not look like we had a quarterback for the next 15 years. There were several bad passes, several bad decisions made by Zach Wilson, but I was excited because I haven't seen a Jet quarterback really lead his team on the road in the fourth quarter like that, and he's young, and he's
cocky. 2 weeks ago.
Well, that was Joe Flacco, a young quarterback.
Yeah.
He was young. He's cocky. He can make some plays. He's mobile. He can move around a little bit, and he's confident. And so the thing I've been scared to say for a couple of weeks about the Jets is I think they have a good team. I think they've drafted well the last couple of weeks, and now the last couple of years, excuse me, and now I'm just trying to figure out if I have a quarterback. I am not sold yet, but I'm getting closer. And if this kid can be good, the Jets are going to be good for a very long time. And I did take a little, I mean, I got to be honest, beating Smetty's team, that was fun. Beating Tomlin on the road, that was fun. I think Pittsburgh might have a quarterback. He played pretty good as well. And so that was a fun game. But I'm confident about the Jets moving forward.
What are you basing that on, Pickett? I saw Pickett sneak a few times. I felt for Jessica. I've been making fun of her the first 3 weeks of the season because I don't think her football experience, even if they go 8-9 or something, or 9-8, I don't think her football experience is going to be fun watching that football team play every week because of Trubisky. But
it feels like you don't want me to have fun, Dan.
Yeah.
It feels like even when the Steelers win, you want me to be sad because they might be bad the next weekend. And I'm not going to fall for that.
Wow.
Kenny Pickett, he played fine. He had a few really good balls. He stood in the pocket, took a big hit, delivering a pass to Pat Freiermuth. Yes, he threw three interceptions. One was the last play of the game, a Hail Mary. One was overthrown to Pat Freiermuth. That was his fault. One was a kind of a 50-50 ball with Chase Claypool that, honestly, I think Claypool probably should have gotten. It was in his hands. I think probably George Pickens catches that ball. Claypool hasn't been as consistent as a deep threat. But overall, I thought he played really well. He rushed for two touchdowns. He looked confident. He gave the offense something that it hasn't had this whole season.
Looked better than Trubisky. Looked better than Trubisky.
And yeah,
not hard.
He's on TV right now. I think he played well. I think he looked impressive. I think if the defense was able to get maybe one third down stop in the fourth quarter, the Steelers win that game. They had a 10-point lead in the fourth, and the defense could not hold it together. There were guys getting banged up and injured, but also they've been struggling a little bit in those types of games this season. So overall, like, I thought Kenny Pickett played fine, and I'm happy about it.
How long are we going to keep doing the gritty for? Like, is this going to go the way of the dab where it's, like, going on for too long? Because, like, when Zach Wilson did it, this is one thing I was wondering. It's like, I feel like this is come and gone at this point, right? Also, am I old because I was thinking, like, Zach Wilson's coming back from a meniscus injury. Like, should we be dancing in the end zone in our first game back? Because what happens if this goes wrong?
You were worried about him?
I was. Yeah, I thought, right. You know what? Let's just go back to the sideline. Let's not get hurt dancing.
I thought we had agreed that the gritty died when Mac Jones did it with Chris Cody at the Super Bowl. I thought that to all of
this
us.
This was solid. But both of theirs were good.
Yeah.
But not that it was bad. It's that them doing it, the two people doing it, ended it for all of us. They did it well. Both of them did it well. Mac Jones was a surprise doing it well. Are you taking it away because you're saying Stugatz's quarterback just did it too poorly to kill it?
I actually think Zach Wilson's was good. I thought Mike Gesicki did everything he could to murder the gritty after his attempt at it in Baltimore. But yeah, to answer your question, Billy, I do think we have reached the critical mass on the gritty. I think it is very close to its end.
But I think what Billy is saying is if you're Zach Wilson coming off that surgery, just go to the sideline. Don't dance. Any dance, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I would avoid, yeah.
Right.
When you're coming off of a knee injury. Because like, imagine the headline. He comes back. Scores a touchdown on a trick play and is back out because of the gritty, re-aggravating his injury.
Be so Jets.
Another doctor under fire.
Yes.
I miss much of the 4 o'clock games because I was at the Tampa game and there were only three. Who was that guy playing quarterback for the Patriots?
Zappy?
Bailey Zappy.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Zappy. Yes.
Who?
Yeah.
I thought it was Hoyer. What happened?
Hoyer got hurt early, and Zappy, it was funny to watch the Patriots just run the ball. We watched Packers-Patriots, and it was just two running teams in 2022.
But it was infuriating, especially I had the Packers -9.5, and I also fell asleep during the 4 o'clock games. I woke up and go, who is that quarterback? You're going to have to say his name a minimum of 15 times before it finally registers with me. And I just thought, all right, well, the Patriots are going to be stuck on 10 points for the remainder of the game. What the hell, Aaron Rodgers? How the hell does that game come to the last kick of overtime against Bailey Zappe? You're at Lambeau Field. You're at home. Is it Bailey? I don't know what his first name
is. No, you guys are showing your ignorance. This is Bailey Zappe's stat line in 2021 at Western Kentucky.
The Hilltoppers.
5,967 yards.
What?
62 touchdowns, yeah. 11 interceptions.
He can sling it.
Yeah. 476 completions on 687 attempts for 69.3% completion percentage.
We just assumed that the third string quarterback couldn't possibly be any good.
Also rushed for 17 yards.
And his name is Bailey Zappe. Come on. Let's be
He's
for
also
real.
Tiny.
Yeah.
The spread in that game was...
He looks exactly like Mac Jones.
That's why I was confused, because at Raymond James Stadium, they had the red zone on, and I saw that the quarterback wasn't Brian Hoyer because they showed his face. I was like, wait, is Mac Jones like in an emergency situation? Is he active? I was very confused, and then I looked to the stat line. I couldn't find Hoyer anywhere. I guess he didn't throw a pass because Zappe was all over this place, and I was like, who the hell is Zappe?
I just saw Hoyer going to the locker room, and I thought to myself how far Belichick must feel from all of the glory. When Brandon Marshall's already putting him on the hot seat. Brandon Marshall has said, Belichick is on the hot seat, to which Julian Edelman responds, how many playoff games have you played, Brandon? The answer is zero.
Sounds like a cheap shot.
I mean, but also
I'm
accurate.
Sure how it's relevant.
Cheap shot, though, when it's a fact, also because Edelman really undercuts Brandon Marshall. Is Bill Belichick on the hot seat when he's going out there with Bailey Zappe?
Damn, Belichick was almost back, though. Winning on the road at Lambeau against Aaron Rodgers with Zappe.
The announcers were saying classic Belichick, keeping this game close on the road, Lambeau against Aaron Rodgers with his third string quarterback. You're right, Mike. He was almost back.
Almost back.
Classic so Belichick, close. 1-3, bottom of the division.
The Jets are way more talented. I've been telling you for weeks that the Jets have so many weapons. I tend to not think Zach Wilson is good. We'll see. He's finally in a situation where you can't blame any of the offensive weapons around him because they are really talented. Great set of receivers. The running backs are really good. Breece Hall flashed a lot yesterday.
Very good, yeah.
Carter's
good.
A really good backup running back in this league. So there are no more excuses for Zach Wilson to not show it. So if he does show it, I'm with you. You're going to be good for a long time. But if he doesn't, you still have a very good situation for potential free agents, trade acquisitions, or if you have some draft picks stocked up, get a quarterback in the draft because you guys are right there.
You saw nothing yesterday because the Jets down double digits in the fourth quarter. That's usually a loss.
I was impressed by the final drive.
He brought
it
back, yes.
That's still at a Tomlin defense.
Well, how do you guys do this, though? When Jessica says banged up and couldn't get off the field on third down, and that's how she criticizes the defense, but Stugatz comes in here swaggering with, I've got a quarterback. Like, that was also being done to them.
I know it's the Steelers, but it's a Steelers defense without TJ Watt, and that's not the same.
Yeah.
He totally changes the dynamic of that defense.
Don Levitard.
Did you guys see Gilbert Arenas's assessment of Zion Williamson?
Agent Zero.
Stugatz.
Did you answer my question there or no?
No.
Okay, very good.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
J.J. Watt, died during the week and then, revived himself and then played on Sunday.
What did you make of that, Stugatz? J.J. Watt, the other Watt, put on Twitter that he heard some reporting was about to come out, and he says, look, I just got my heart back in rhythm with, I guess he was saying a defibrillator. And he's saying, I'm playing Sunday. And God, did he get accused of look at me, Louie, by our audience. Volunteering defibrillator and volunteering the matter of fact. Yeah, I just got my heart back into rhythm. I'm playing. That's all.
But it's terrifying, isn't it? I mean, I could do without the announcement of it. Like, if you're going to play, just play. Don't tell me what happened leading up to you playing. I don't need to know what happened. I'm surprised he didn't televise the surgery. I mean, but listen.
It wasn't surgery.
He did not have open heart surgery.
Procedure, whatever he did. I mean, whatever happened.
What do you think a defibrillator is? What do you think a defibrillator is?
It's something that helps get your heart back in rhythm.
And how
am I right?
Yes, but how does it do that? You think it's with a surgery?
No, I think maybe you just breathe into it or something like that. I have no idea. I mean, I'm not a doctor, Dan.
You're a quack.
It's heart paddles,
essentially, to shock the heart back into rhythm. And he was volunteering that he had used the defibrillator. And yes, it is. It, just hearing
Did he
the
do
phrase,
it on himself like Jason Statham and Crank?
Dude, put it on the poll, Guillermo. Does J.J. Watt have a defibrillator in his freezer just because?
Is a defibrillator used for this? Like, I'm not sure. I'm looking at it. Yes. It says treatment for AFib may include medications, therapy to reset the heart rhythm, and a catheter procedure to block faulty heart signals.
Mm.
So did they defibrillate him?
Well, it was an AFib, and I didn't get what AFib meant. I just knew that he had an irregular heartbeat.
Yeah.
And it made it, maybe that's all that the tweet should have said. My heart was irregular, but I got it fixed.
Do you think that this had to do like with the Tua stuff in a sense? Like, because he thought that it was going to come out that this was done, and then people were going to say that he shouldn't be playing and they should have been looking out. So he tried to get ahead of this. Or do you think that like no one was going to actually leak this stuff like Stugatz is kind of insinuating, and he just wanted to tell people
that his
heart right back on beat with the national anthem?
Let's start winning him. Can you help me? AFib, I'm obviously ignorant on these things. I don't know how one gets one's heart back into rhythm.
I mean, Stugatz is an expert on AFib.
Not just AFib. He's got, yes.
Multiple fibs.
Yes. Many,
the
many
only one plural. That he doesn't know is the defib.
Yes. What is that? Defense against lying?
The idea that J.J. Watt would volunteer to us, I am overcoming this thing that we didn't know. It's a great question, Billy, and I'm not so cynical. I am assuming that Jay Glazer or somebody was going to put together a report that sounded scary, and I'm assuming he was trying to get ahead of it, but he did it, as he often does, in Captain America style. And at this point, because we think he should be playing with a giant American flag behind him as he runs all over the field, and he would have blocked 9 Baker Mayfield passes yesterday with that flag because there were 2 guys on the left side. I think I read at one point there were 10 batted down balls on Baker Mayfield because he's just getting stuck now in the stool of defensive people. But what ended up happening there with the AFib? Chris, what is that?
So it's not the AFib. AFib is a disease.
Hold on, are you about to say AFib?
AFib. AFib, it stands for atrial fibrillation, which is a type of arrhythmia or abnormal heartbeat. AFib is caused by extremely fast and irregular beats from the upper chambers of the heart, and so there are multiple ways to fix it. Medications, therapy to reset the heart rhythm, it's called a cardioversion, or, to Stugatz's defense, surgery catheter procedures.
Mm-hmm. Say sorry, Dan.
No, he took the catheter. Yeah. All right.
I don't know.
Well, I think
idea.
Is this the thing Jason Taylor told us about?
I think so. Like that PICC line.
Jason Taylor told us he had a PICC line running from his heart to a catheter underneath his armpit, and that he just got it heavily taped up, but that he was playing an NFL game. I don't know if that's what this is. We don't. We
you
are
didn't
not
take
doctors.
To Twitter to
we,
reveal that either.
We are quacks. We were doctors only on Thursday.
You just buried it down all of deep us, inside like a real
us,
man.
All of us were doctors on Thursday. We have done nothing here today other than prove that we are not doctors.
But can I ask you a question with Jason Taylor and this?
Yeah.
Is week 4 no. Cardinals Panthers really that important?
No. Huge.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, there were only 3 4 o'clock games.
Yeah.
That was one of them.
Yeah.
So massive, massive implication.
Must win game.
You
I mean,
all
JJ,
watch,
yes.
You all watched way more of that game than you were planning to when you saw the schedule.
That's why
no
I took
doubt.
My nap.
No doubt.
It was a classic 5 p.m. nap. It was a 5 p.m. nap, 4 o'clock window.
For Billy, 2.5 hours.
Wait a minute. Billy, did you just mutter in embarrassed, I was watching baseball at 5 o'clock yesterday?
Yeah, like the 5:30, I sat down and I go, what am I doing right now? Like, what am I watching on Red Zone? And I checked in on like the 11th inning of the Marlins Brewers.
Your choices were Russell Wilson again struggling offensively,
yeah.
Baker Mayfield having batted passes, or Zappy.
I've got
that was the red zone yesterday.
What are the Marlins doing, by the way? They're friends with the Phillies on social media now.
It was weird, yeah, because like the Marlins are playing spoiler, so the Phillies changed their like Twitter handle to Marlins Stan account, and then we're like tweeting at the Marlins because the Phillies are in line to get one of the last wild card spots. So they wanted them to beat the Brewers. So it was like It was very strange. And the Marlins kind of took care of business the last 2 days beating the Brewers.
Ooh, I want to do a jocular thing because Sugats is feeling very good about his Jets. Can we make him feel bad about his Mets?
I feel lousy about him. I do. I need the Marlins to sweep the Braves this week.
Yeah. And they're not doing you any favors because they shut down Sandy, who could have gotten that last start of the season.
We're doomed.
I had a conversation with my wife. I'm like, you know what? And Wednesday's a weird game. It's like a 4 o'clock last game of the season. And I talked to my wife. And I'm like, I think I'm going to go. Sandy's last start. Like, he might win the Cy Young this year. Like, it'll be nice to kind of go out, you know, cheer him on, see what he does. And then, like, and I told her, you know, but it's in the daytime, so I don't know. Like, we'll probably know by Monday or Tuesday. And then sure enough, like 20 minutes later, like, shut him down for the season. I'm like, never mind our Wednesday afternoon freed up. Not going to a 4 o'clock game.
I can't believe that you're publicly admitting that at 5 o'clock you wandered away from Panthers, Cardinals, Broncos, Raiders.
And Zappy.
And
Zappy was enough to keep me watching football.
You guys are being disrespectful to the CUSA winner.
Yeah. Two running teams, the Patriots and the Packers. But I will admit, Billy, I've got to admit, Yelich came up. Great play at the plate. Great play at the plate. I did the same thing that you did. When in extra innings, I was wandering around because they've made extra innings better. They just put a guy on second base. And so I'm like, I can watch this.
That is a whole other thing. I mean, honestly.
Ruined baseball.
Are you not a fan of it? I don't love it either.
Because of the runner on second.
Yeah, I don't love it either. But also, like, if you just bunt the ball twice, you will score a run every time. If you just if you teach them how to bunt down the first base line, all you have to do is bunt and get the runner over. And then just do a suicide squeeze and bunt, and they're not expecting it. But no one bunts. It's very simple to get a run in extra innings, but everyone's trying to hit a home run. God, I don't know why, but I still root against Christian Yelich. I was watching him in extra. God, strike out, you idiot. And he's hitting like 230 with like 13 home runs, and I'm like, thank goodness gracious.
He's back to being a slap hitter. I said he was a slap hitter, and then he won MVP as not a slap hitter, and now he's back to being a slap hitter.
He hit like 40 home runs, and then he had another season, and now he's back to like, not back to, he's like worse than he was on the Marlins. And it's like, what happened here? It's weird. Because he didn't even get paid, like, he got his Marlins deal, but I don't think that the Brewers signed him to like a big deal, did they?
Oh, I think they did. I think he's playing on his second contract, is he not? I think that does explain it. He's resting on his laurels.
Yeah.
I think his back is really jacked up, right? Oh, he's bad. Okay.
Okay, very good.
That was a quack.
Jessica, I'm surprised to hear you say you don't like, you prefer an 18-inning baseball game?
Why?
They don't happen that often.
They changed the rules so much you don't like it. I mean, just putting a man on second.
I just think it's cheap.
Right. Yeah.
He did get a deal, 7 years, 188. By the way, did you see, not to kind of change the subject, but did you see Shohei Ohtani got a 1 year, $30 million deal, which is like an arbitration record, and he's still going to be making less than Tyler Hero.
Tyler's taunting folks on Twitter, too,
yeah,
with the baggy
tweet.
Well, he just got Jamal Murray money. He just got Donovan Mitchell money. Like, he just got paid like one of the top 30 or 40 players in the league.
He got more guarantees than R.J. Barrett, who, because R.J. Barrett plays in New York and was pretty solid down the end of the season. A lot of people are saying Tyler Hero is not as good as R.J. Barrett. The contract tends to disagree with that. The Miami Heat have, whenever someone overperforms their current deal and is in line for the deal, Miami Heat always give them that deal. Always.
They're on the hook for a lot of money.
Yep, five guys and a lot of money.
I think they're $151 million between the five of them.
I think.
Well, those five guys were a shot away from making it to the NBA Finals.
But
I mean,
Jimmy Butler's older, and one of those five guys, Duncan Robinson, that's a lot of money tied up.
I mean, two of them weren't really figuring in the playoff rotation by the end of it, Duncan and Tyler Hero, because of his injury in the playoffs. And in losing P.J. Tucker, they lose a lot. And I think you sort of look at their team. They haven't added anything. The Hero extension locks up some more of your money. This team basically has to look within itself for improvement. Well, a lot of the East got a lot better. If you start doing the math, some of these decent teams in the East, Atlanta, Toronto.
Well, Cleveland might be better.
They might be looking in the play-in, given how strong this is.
This is interesting. What has happened this offseason, Stugatson? God almighty, this ecosystem is competitive because they missed the finals by a shot, and they missed in free agency on everybody. The Tyler Hero contract Mike, arrives, I think, to Heat fans as a bit of a disappointment, where they now have to talk themselves into, my squad only will be as good as the improvements of Bam and Tyler until Pat Riley has to do something else to get us out from the salary cap situation. But
the good news is, Dan, that that was the case last year, though, too, and they made improvements, and now you're hoping that they still have some growth in their game.
I mean, they can get a Jay Crowder here and there. You don't know what they can get to do what P.J. Tucker was doing, strong defense and play in the corner, and Jimmy Butler's not going to play the four. I'm just saying that Tyler Hero signing him closes up doors on what they could have done with Durant. It's an official signaling to Heat fans of, hey, you're going to settle for something less than what you thought this was going to be. You know, Caleb Martin is talking about feeling disrespected because people aren't, acknowledging what he did last season. Sure. But they're going to be a lesser team. Heat fans have seen them be a lesser team because everyone else has improved. And because now they're only as good as a trade down the line, which is possible, or how much better Tyler and Bam get on these contracts.
Who is Caleb Martin going at? Fans on Twitter or his own staff? Because I thought Caleb Martin played very well for Miami in the spots that they used him, and they just didn't play him down the stretch. The Oladipo thing to me is interesting because I know for a fact Jimmy Butler doesn't necessarily enjoy – he likes Victor Oladipo, the person, but they – he likes to occupy the same spots that Jimmy Butler does, so he doesn't necessarily like playing alongside him. So the contracts are now in a situation, because they struck out on the Wales, that Donovan Mitchell goes to Cleveland and Kevin Durant stays put. You're disappointed because you were hoping in all these Photoshops that you were going to make this marked improvement because of the new acquisitions. Okay, you have the team. You've lost P.J. Tucker. I really like P.J. Tucker, but I also like first half of the season P.J. Tucker a hell of a lot better than I liked the guy that didn't even factor into Game 7. He wasn't even playing. He was banged up. He's older. It's a lot of money Philadelphia just gave him. You got to start Tyler Hero. And I think when we look at improvements that this team can make with the pieces that they have, if you read reports on what's going on in training camp, you're getting a lot of Bam at the four. And you're at the five and trying to give different looks. Caleb Martin at the four. Tyler Hero back in the starting lineup and really owning that position. So they're going to be playing a different brand of basketball, it would appear.
Yurt, they go as far as Yurt takes them.
Yurt was very, I mean, he has his deficiencies.
We should say
impressive.
His full name Yurtsevin. Because most people don't know Yurtsevin. Omer Yurtsevin.
Okay, yeah. If you say so.
Yeah, big Yurt.
I enjoyed watching him play.
Yeah, aren't those easy things to trust, guys, though? I'm serious. As it relates to the Heat, what Dan was talking about, that Hero gets better, that Bam gets better, that's what the Heat do. And if it doesn't work out, that Riley will bail him out. Like, those are things, well, that's what you trust about the Heat,
Daryl
right?
Morey says you know what a guy is 3 years in. You know what he is.
Yeah, but I think with Tyler Hero especially, he's had a very difficult evaluation. Think about the 3 years we've been evaluating him in. Bubble. a pandemic season in which he caught COVID like multiple times.
I was doing it for Bam, not Tyler.
No, I understand.
You know what a player is 3 years in. Whatever you think, I don't know if that's right what Daryl Morey is saying, but it makes me think that Bam is not whatever you guys wanted in the playoffs that you weren't getting from Bam. The suggestion would be from Daryl Morey's science that Bam is what he now is, that there's not going to be a big leap after that. Tyler Hero, you've just paid him as if you expect it from him, because it really is, Mike, tying their fortunes to, okay, Tyler, you're a legitimate scorer. If we're going to pay you Donovan Mitchell money, are you going to be Donovan Mitchell? Like, are you that? It's not an unfair request to make of a starter you're paying like that.
Certainly can't be
like
defensively.
That. No, but he has been. But he has been.
Yeah, no, they go at him. It was very clear what shots were available to Miami in that final round against Boston. You missed Tyler Hero. The mid-range jumpers were there. The kind of contested shots that Tyler Hero makes and got that contract on were there. They certainly missed Tyler Hero. For whatever reason, wasn't a talking point. There's no real excuses when you lose out to the Boston Celtics, and you won't hear that from the organization. But that's a massive injury. He won by a large amount that sixth man of the year. He was hugely important to them.
Well, so. I don't even think that injury was as big as Boston's Robert Williams injury. Boston, yeah, Boston was better last year. Now everybody's trying to get where Boston is. It really is an amazing thing to look at, Stugatz, that you're a shot away, and now Whittingham saying play in. You're a shot because of how much better everyone else got.
More likely, I would say it's right now, looking at the roster, it's probably more likely that they're facing a play-in battle as opposed to a battle for home court.
That's disrespectful to what they've done to say that. Yeah.
Well, and I also think it's disrespectful to their regular season pedigree. I think in terms of playoff competition, they'll struggle this year, but it's a team that shows up for the regular season every year. They always outperform whatever people expect of them. So I think from a regular season standpoint, they could actually be okay.
Last season, they won so many games that they had no business winning because they had people out from injury or protocols or personal issues. And they would just go like that Brooklyn game where you look at the roster that actually won that that game and they had no business winning that game. So I just think that it's not – I understand Dan saying that it's disrespectful to Miami. To me, I'm really just really pumping up the other teams in the Eastern Conference. I thought that they did wonderfully in improving their rosters from Atlanta on down. So,
what kind of sports fan is that?
Wonderfully.
Positive guy.
Well, like, we're a year older. We have a lot of questions.
I just want to salute everybody for getting better.
Yeah. Way to go, Hawks.
Good job, guys.
way to make a roster responsibly in a way that is competitive to the Heat. I respect you, lads, and look forward to the challenge. Yes. That is not quite the trash talk of last year when you were biting the heads off of bats and screaming at people through blood.
Now you're tipping your cap. Like, now I mean,
it's very.
I'm a different man. Middle Tennessee State lost.
Different team.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.